2 o'clock in the morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Mastermind Association Saturday Morning Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm one of several hosts this morning, as I am every morning. I'm Danelle McNeil, and on the line we have...
Chad Jackson.
Rose Young.
And Vaughn Young.
And we are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group. We are energized and ready this early Saturday morning to be on the air with you, so we invite you to call, text, and let everyone know that we have gotten started. Join us via the internet by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by telephone 661-554-9219, 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we are live, press 1 on your telephone keypad. And you can join us in the chat room as well. Log on through your Facebook page. Log on through your Facebook account and visit our page. You can also visit our group at International Mastermind Association. Make a comment on our Facebook page and let us know that you're listening. And you can also post your questions there as well. We are continuing our discussion of the bestseller Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, the restored and revised version. And we're finishing chapter 12, Is it the brain? Yes, the brain. And moving on to chapter 13, The Sixth Sense, on this show. But before we get started, we would like to let all of our listeners know a little about the International Mastermind Association. And we'll be back.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And we are forward. Thank you for joining us today. We are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. The International Mastermind Association is the official masterminding organization of masterminders worldwide. We invite you to visit our website and to become live on the show and let us know your thoughts and your beliefs and opinions about either the reading or the show. But anyway, moving on. So how is everyone on the line this morning?
Well, I'm feeling blessed this morning. This is Chad. Just a little bit about my week. My week was very fulfilling. It was very ffulfilling this week. I had a little bit of time to spend in the book, but I did get a lot of time to exercise some of the principles that were outlined in the book, previous chapters, but definitely the one with the brain and the subconscious, which led me to filling my sixth sense on this morning. So I'll leave that for the rest of the show.
Awesome.
Anyone else? Good morning, and this is Rose. I had a wonderful week, as usual, using applying the principles of Mr. Hill. I kept a positive mental attitude, and you know, I know and believe what I want. And my mind is on it. I'm affirming my actions, my plans. Hey, and I'm seeing it manifest every day.
Super.
And I'm blessed and highly favored this morning. This is Vaughn. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how was your week? Okay. So my week, I got cable. So.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
Well, let me go back to last week's call. Ann McNeil said, it's the thinking that makes it so. The way I felt at the beginning of every morning after going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning watching movies that I hadn't seen, it was a bad thing. So I have some serious self control to put in practice now with this beast cable in my home. But it was a good week. It was a really good week. It was fun. It was fun. I hadn't stayed up and watched TV like that in a really long time. So I'm a bit over it now. So it won't be coming on anytime soon.
We'll call him and tell him to cut it off.
No. We won't go that far.
The thrill is gone already. That's good.
The Golden Girls will be featured starting March 15th. So we cannot do that. And so I'm not using my sixth sense, but I'm pretty certain that we will be hearing from Ann McNeil at some point in the early part of the show. So we're waiting very patiently and diligently for her. And moving on, so we're finishing chapter 12. Oh, there she is. Good morning, Ann. How are you? Welcome.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. And I must say, I had a terrific week. My week,
wonderful.
Actually, I have to say this. My week, I have to apologize for last week's show, of course, with the OYT conference in the Bahamas. But my week kicked off this week with the conference. And I am here to let everybody know that the Bahamian International Mastermind Conference was just awesome.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I was just so impressed myself, and I know he's probably not listening, but I have to take my hat off to Valentino Monroe and Malachi Monroe and all of the members of the Bahamian Chamber of Commerce and the young professionals. They did an awesome job, and the speakers and the sponsors were just great. And so we will be welcoming them to our Blog Talk Radio show in the future. So I just wanted to just say that. And I'm excited about this chapter because, you know, as we live it, and the older you get, according to the chapter, the more in tune we become with our sixth sense. So with that, I just want to say thank you so very much for the opportunity to serve. Thank you.
Before you go, tell us, do you believe that we'll be hearing from the Bahamians and the international masterminders as international masterminders?
Well, yes, most definitely. Actually, this morning in preparation for this show, I was thinking about, you know, the fact that we need to add them in also as a part of our monthly guests to host and to be a part of the show as they grow in masterminding, because as I did my presentation, many of them have read many of the books we've read, especially this book entitled Thinking We're Rich by Napoleon Hill. So it is definitely a plus, and it will definitely happen, yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Congratulations on such a phenomenal week, especially starting the week off in such a way.
Yeah.
So we definitely look forward to hearing more about that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
So I'll go back on mute. Thanks.
All right. Okay, so we are finishing chapter 12 on page 225, and I'd like to, if I may, just read these three paragraphs at the end of the chapter of the brain, because it's talked about so much in chapter 13. So to give everyone, especially if you do not have this best-selling, phenomenal book, to give you an opportunity of being a part of what we're talking about, I'm going to go on ahead and read these three paragraphs at the end of chapter 12, The Brain. The conditions to which I, being Napoleon Hill, Dr. Napoleon Hill, refer consist of a close working alliance between myself and two members of my staff. So he's talking about forming a mastermind alliance. Through experimentation and practice, we discovered how to stimulate our minds by applying the principle used in connection with the invisible counselors described in the next chapter, so that we can, by a process of blending our three minds into one, find the solution to a great variety of problems. The procedure is simple. We sit down at a conference table, clearly state the nature of the problem we have under consideration, then begin discussing it. Each contributes whatever thoughts that may occur. The strange thing about this method of mind stimulation is that it places each participant in communication with unknown sources of knowledge, definitely outside his own experience. If you understand the principle described in Chapter 9 on the mastermind, you, of course, recognize the roundtable procedure here described as being a practical application of the mastermind. This method of mind stimulation through harmonious discussion of definite subjects among three people illustrates the simplest and most practical use of the mastermind. By adopting and following a similar plan, any student of this philosophy may come into possession of the famous Carnegie formula briefly described in the introduction. If it means nothing with this time, mark this page and read it again after you have finished the final chapter. We'll also share this page so you can listen to it again. All right, so that's the end of the chapter on the brain, introducing chapter 13, The Sixth Sense. And let's take it away. So I'll start with the first two paragraphs, and we are now on page, 227. The 13th mm-hmm. step to, pardon me?
No, I was saying correct.
Okay. The 13th step to riches, the final step, is known as the sixth sense, through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. This principle is the apex of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles explained in the previous chapters. And my note, I put a note, why? Why do you have to master the first 12 principles before you can really get into an understanding of this one? Why do you all think?
Well, for one, you have to have, you have to work on your thoughts. This is Rose, your mind, your thinking. Mm-hmm. You got to change the way you think. So, and that goes
right
along with your mental attitude. And I think
right
that's the first part that it covers. And then
right
it talks about you have to have a definiteness of purpose. So you got to know what it is that you want. What is it that you want? What's the desire? You have to write this down. You have to put a date on it. You have to affirm it. And it
right
talks more about that in our most famous spoke about page 28.
Right.
If that's amount of the attainment of money that you want, that you desire. going the extra mile. You know, it talks about things that you need to put in place. Danielle talked about self-discipline this morning, you know, as far as with the cable. She has cable now, so she needs to apply she needs to be disciplined.
Thanks.
And it goes on again about the mastermind principles, you know, and starting that team and who's going to be part of that team, what kind of like mind and like spirit members do you have on your mastermind team?
Yeah.
You know, of course, another one we talked about is faith, the faith, applying your faith, applying that faith, seeing, believing the unseen. And it goes on. I mean, it's the teamwork with the mastermind, I can't remember what else I had, creating a vision. I'm just going back on what we discussed in the previous chapters. You know, all those things have to come into play,
right?
You know, before
and
you can apply.
The visual that I got in response to the question when I asked my question why when I was taking my notes,
mm-hmm.
the visual that I got was that the previous chapters in the book. Well, no, the visual was. Imagine, you know, in my neighborhood, yesterday was sanitation day. It was garbage day.
Uh-huh.
So I actually imagined chocolate, but for the sake of this call, I'm going to say I imagined diamonds. Imagine diamonds at the bottom of, not really at the bottom, but somewhere in the trash can. Right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the previous 12 chapters helps us to rid our minds and rid ourselves and helps us to condition ourselves to clean out the trash so that we can get to the good stuff. That's the visual that I got that popped into my mind thought about why do we have to master, if you will, I actually don't really want to say master, but at least begin to become very familiar with.
Right.
And process to be in the process of mastering the previous 12 principles. And again, the previous 12 principles helps us to begin to filter out that negative stuff, the stuff that really just doesn't help us much, you know, like staying up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching movies, so that we can get to the good stuff, so that we can get to knowing what to do with certain thoughts when they come into our heads and just how to condition ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
I read a quote sometime this week, and it said, life is like, your mind is like a vending machine full of change and stuff that you do not need. So be careful of the things you choose.
Mm.
Wow. You dig? And that's what I just heard you say. Like, it's all in there. It's all in there, but it's up to you what you withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, don't worry about it. Take the meat and leave the bone. In the words of my man.
And there's a footnote at the end of that sentence, and applied only by first mastering the other twelve principles explained in the previous chapters. There's a footnote, and that's one we talk about during the commercials. We highlight this particular version of Think and Grow Rich that we're reading, and it's really because even though this is the original version, it's restored with additional information that helps. The footnote, which is on page 363 as an endnote, talks about, in addition to the 13 steps to riches, Napoleon Hill would later develop, along with W. Clement Stone, the 17 success principles, which were taught in classes and a popular correspondence course called PMA, Positive Mental Attitude, Science of Success.
The 17 success principles are, and they have been variously stated, and ordered in different works. So those 17 are a positive mental attitude, definiteness of purpose, going the extra mile, accurate thinking, self-discipline, the mastermind principle, applied faith, a pleasing personality, personal initiative, enthusiasm, controlled attention or concentration, teamwork, learning from adversity and defeat, creative vision or imagination, budgeting time and money, maintaining sound physical and mental health, and 17, the law of cosmic habit force, the law of cosmic habit force, or the use of universal law. Hill and Stone's book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, written in 1960, provides a good explanation of the 17 success principles, as does Your Right to Be Rich, an interactive study guide first published in 1961. And as a matter of fact, when you join the International Mastermind Association, one of your membership benefits is to receive Your Right to Be Rich, which is a really, really great audio. Well, I take that back. When you join at, I think, the executive level, don't quote me on that, but when you join at a particular level, you will receive Your Right to Be Rich. Now, let me ask my group, have any of you checked out the PMA Science of Success on YouTube?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's actually on YouTube. I used to listen to it every day while I was at work. And but it really helped to have a great day. It really did. So
that was
really,
before you started work. Your 30 minutes that you come in early.
Yes. This was during my my personal time at thanks for that space. So I do, if no one has, and for our listening audience as well, I do recommend that you check that out on YouTube. You can do a search on YouTube for Napoleon Hill Success Principles, and there are 17 of them. As a matter of fact, I typed them up, what he said, word for word. This is a little experiment. I knew them. I didn't know, but I assumed that if I told Malachi to go to listen, he probably would not. I don't know. He's an okay kid, so he may have, but maybe just not listen to it all the way out. So I typed it up, and then I gave it to him and asked him to proofread it for me, so that he would have to read it also. I never did get those notes back, so I don't know if that worked either. So anyway, before we go on, we will take a very quick commercial break and be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are forward. So would anyone else like to pick up with your notes or reading? No? Okay. So at the bottom of page 227, the sixth sentence, the last paragraph. Oh, you have anything you want to add?
Just to say, what the 17, no, you were talking, wait, hold on, I did have a note. I'm not ready, but we'll come back to it because it goes in more into the first part of this chapter.
Okay, well, I'll continue reading and then you can just interrupt me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the sixth sense defies description. It cannot be described to a person who has not mastered the other principles of this philosophy, because such a person has no knowledge and no experience with which the sixth sense may be compared. I think that there is some truth to that.
Yeah.
Honestly, not completely, but I do believe that there is some truth to that. You have something to add, Chad?
Well, just because, I mean, even earlier, as you look at the book, it is, to me, especially keeping up with your question, to me, the book is a tool. And you have to use certain tools for certain jobs, and in doing certain projects, sometimes you have to use a variety of tools in a certain order in order to get the desired results that you're looking for. And I think that, you know, the steps, the fact that they are steps, that you have to take them in a certain order and also get familiar with them in a certain way so that you can understand the one that comes next, because the one that comes next has a little to do something with some of the principles or some of the values or some of the dynamics with the one that came before. And the one that came before may have something that interlocks with the one at the end, but you may have to understand a couple of other things before you get there. And I think that's what's going on with Sixth Sense, because I think even though the Sixth Sense is a 13th chapter, the previous chapters, you're going to find all of them being used in order for the Sixth Sense, you know, to actually be working. The Sixth Sense draws upon all of those forces to communicate to you as an individual. So I think as we continue to read the book, we need to understand the importance of the tools that, you know, that he's given us through these chapters, and understand how to work with the tools, like you were saying earlier, become more familiar with them so that we can be able to put them in operation. Because you're going to see that as this chapter begins to roll on, that we're going to discuss a lot of stuff that happened in previous chapters as well. And going down to the bottom of it, that's why IMA is so important, and that's why masterminding is so important. But if you can actually get these concepts and understand them, and, you know, you can actually make some changes and do some major things, but you have to make sure that you follow the steps in the order that they come. So make sure you spend time actually putting the steps into practice. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I was just about to share some thoughts that I had about some upcoming projects, but I'll hold on to those until they're in at least the final stages of planning. Rose, did you find your notes yet?
Well,
no,
I don't know.
I haven't.
No? Okay. Well, can I comment on what Chad just said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what I'm finding out. The deeper we get into the text, I realize that this is not only more of a school of thought. A lot of times, the reason why we've failed, or I won't say failed, the reason why we have yet to succeed is because we are our school of thought was not in order with our vision for ourselves. So we write down our plan. We say we're going to do X, we're going to do Y, and we're going to do Z in that order. But when X gets hard, the way we think and process things, it tells us, oh, you can't do it, you can't, you know, and then we fall into that. So we have to renew our minds, just like the good book says, the other good book says, have to renew our minds on a consistent basis, because it took me almost 40 years to get to the mindset that I have now. It took me almost 40 years, and I can't think, because I read this book once or twice, or even three times, that this is that life-changing. No, I have to implement the things that I'm learning into my life to reprogram or reprocess the way my mind works, the way I conceive what's going on around me. You understand what I'm saying? If it's making, I'm quite sure it's making sense. I'm almost positive it makes sense, but it's hard to do. That's a hard step. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's something that's embedded in us. Some of the things we've learned, we've been learning those things since birth. I just wanted to say that just to come into, you know, we've been doing it since birth. I'm almost 40 years old. To come into reading a book and think it's going to just wake me up, it's a great awakening right now. Nah, it's something that you have to apply over time. Ms. Ann just celebrated 40 years, and she's still reading the book on a consistent basis, not memorizing it and you know, preaching how great the book is. She's still learning from the book. If she wasn't, it wouldn't be no reason for her to continue to read it. She's read it probably more than anybody we all know.
Mm-hmm. That's
and speaking
true. That's true.
And speaking of school and schools of thought, on March 7th, the International Mastermind Association, IMA, is beginning our IMA 101 classes, where we're starting with a series of 8 new member orientation classes, which will introduce our system, the Anne McNeil system of masterminding and success building. If you've just recently joined the International Mastermind Association, or you've been considering it, at least in recent months, we'd like for you to participate. You can go to internationalmasterminders.com, internationalmasterminders.com, to register for each of the 8 courses. And, of course, upon completion of the course, you will receive a certificate. So we invite you to visit the website, internationalmasterminders.com, to sign up for the IMA 101 classes. You are also invited on March 7th, which is the first Thursday of the month, at 7 p.m. to be a part of the calls. So moving on, have you found your notes yet, Rafe? No. Okay. On page 228, how about you just let me know? On page 228, Napoleon Hill continues 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth chapter, and pardon me, I keep saying chapter, the fifth paragraph. I am not a believer in nor an advocate of miracles for the reason that I have enough knowledge of nature to understand that nature never deviates from her established laws. I don't completely agree with that. Some of her laws are so incomprehensible that they produce what appear to be miracles. The sixth sense comes as near to being a miracle as anything I've ever experienced. And it appears so only because I do not understand the method by which this principle was operated. I liked that very last sentence where he said, and it appears so only because I do not understand the method by which this principle is operated. So that confirmed for me that a lot of times, sometimes the less we know about how a particular thing works, the easier it is to accept it and to understand it, and also that we don't have to know the details of everything in order to accept it and to understand it. So that resonated well with me. Does anyone have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's just like the saying, and Anne likes to say it a lot too. Like she would say, well, there's no such thing as coincidence. And I find myself saying that, you know, when I hear somebody say, oh, what a coincidence, you know. So it's just, you know, he says, yes, you just have to know that the laws that this is going to happen or this is what takes place, and not know the underlying of why or not understand the why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, we don't have to know why all the time.
You just got to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Most of the time.
That's right.
All right, so moving on, does anyone have anything else on page 228? No?
Let's see.
If not, I am moving on to page 229. Okay. All right. On page 229, so the second paragraph, he starts talking about hero worship at the top of page 229.
Right.
In the first paragraph that I'm going to start reading, and the second paragraph, I have never entirely divested myself of this habit of hero worship. Although I have passed the age commonly given over to such, my experience has taught me that the next best thing to being truly great is to emulate the great by feeling and action as nearly as possible. I liked that. I liked that a lot. So much so, I'll read it again. My experience has taught me that the next best thing to being truly great is to emulate the great by feeling and action as nearly as possible. I don't know. I just really liked that.
That's awesome.
Resonated with me. Like
it's
some
powerful.
Of the other things. Yeah. The next paragraph, long before I had ever written a line for publication or endeavored to deliver a speech in public, I followed the habit of reshaping my own character by trying to imitate the 9 individuals whose lives and life's work had been most impressive to me. These 9 were Ralph Waldo Emerson, Thomas Paine, Thomas A. Edison, Charles Darwin, Abraham Lincoln, Luther Burbank, Napoleon Bonaparte, Henry Ford, and Andrew Carnegie. Every night, over a long period of years, I held an imaginary council with this group, whom I called my invisible counselors. And that's the end of the paragraph.
So in other words, you have you 2 mastermind teams or mastermind groups.
Exactly, and that's why I wanted to read the last part of the previous chapter, because, yes, he had 2 mastermind partners. So before we get really into this part, because I have a really good feeling that this part is really going to take off.
It's about to get deep.
I won't even be able to get away. We're going to take a commercial.
I want to hear some of the invisible counselors at some of your tables.
We're gonna take commercial, and just to let everyone know that this is really funny to us, because we sometimes, not as frequently as we should, but sometimes we have calls before the show, and we strategize and we mastermind and we talk, and there's a lot of laughing that goes on. So this laughing that you hear is a continuation of some previous laughing and conversations that we had. But we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and then we'll continue laughing and reading and talking.
Yeah.
Cool.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
All right, and here we are. We are the Plan with Intention Mastermind Group. I am Danelle McNeil, Rose Young, Vaughn Young, and Chad Jackson, and Michael Horn and Michael Baptiste, who are always with us in thought, but just aren't physically here with us. And we'll actually be hosting our member Michael Baptiste next week, Saturday.
So moving forward with the discussion of the council, if you've just joined us, I would like to read that paragraph again, and then I'll turn it over to you all and let you have at it.
Yes.
So he says, long before I had ever written a line for publication or endeavored to deliver a speech in public, I followed the habit of reshaping my own character by trying to imitate the nine individuals whose lives and life work had been most impressive to me. So I'm going to stop there and say this. What I liked about this first sentence was that he put into practice this council and developed this group of counselors even before he had, I want to say the need, although the need was already present within him, he reached out and he started this personal development, this mind mastery, even before he began his physical work. That's what I really liked about her sentence. I followed the habit of reshaping my own character by trying to imitate the nine individuals. And in the previous paragraph, he talked about emulating the great. And so these nine individuals represented greatness to him. So your thoughts. Everyone else.
Well, looking at what he said, I'm like, this part of the book is a part that really gets me excited, because I really look into what, you know, the real thought process that goes into what he was saying at the same time as lined up with what he actually said. To me, the part that stuck out the most is the power of a role model. And the power of somebody that you can follow. Often we hear about, you know, to be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. You have to have something that that your life that you have to model yourself after, or someone to model yourself around. A lot of us in life, we end up choosing our employment, you know, the type of people that we like to be around, all of that based upon something that we've seen, or somebody that we want to emulate, or somebody that we want to mimic, or somebody that we looked up to. And I think the power of that within itself is a major thing, because a lot of times we talk about the youth, and we talk about what it takes in order to grow as an adult. And we see that even in the life of a baby, you know, as early as that, as the age of zero, everything that they learn is through emulation, through what they see, and trying to act upon what they see and what they hear. And we have to understand that this is how we not only make ourselves better, but this is also how we understand the book, so that we can make ourselves better through picking those people or finding those role models like Napoleon Hill. To have upon your invisible council. But we see that he picked people that he would have liked to model himself after, and that power alone caused him to pick some great people to have as counselors. And that's the part that, you know, I really wanted to get at, the power of a role model.
Yeah. That's awesome. I understand. I totally understand. But do you guys remember in the late 80s, mid to mid 90s, everybody was walking around with the wristbands on that say WWJD.
Uh-huh.
What would Jesus do? That's what he did. What would Andrew Carnegie do?
Yeah.
That's the train of thought. The person you look up to, you're trying to say, this is what you want to do in this situation. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to emulate them or imitate or recreate them. You're trying to stay in your lane, first of all, lane, but you want to be the master of your lane, just like Andrew Carnegie was the master in his lane. So what would Andrew Carnegie, what would Andrew Carnegie do? What would Ed McNeil do?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Handle your business.
We actually have a caller on the line, and the last four digits
of your number are 8535. Go ahead, your line is open.
How you doing, ma'am? I was going to sit back and keep my mouth shut. This is Rufus Curry Jr. But I was shortcutted by texting Danelle, and that's what I wanted to say, but I was like, well, she didn't even get my text. But, you know, good morning, all.
Good morning.
This is an awesome day, man. It's a Saturday morning. We're masterminding the actual application of a system that has the potential, if you move, take one step at a time, is life-altering. You know, we're talking about that sixth sense, and the thing that I have to understand is that as we try to understand things, we have to realize that, as Big Mama say, that's my grandma, my mama's mama, you ain't going to understand everything, baby. And is it really important for you to understand it down to its nth degree? Because if you waste your time trying to understand it, you miss out on your move forward.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I say and we have to get past that, because when we talk about those hunches, impulses, the arrival of the things that you need without you asking for them, we don't understand that like we do with conversations. Hey, can you tell me where the gas station is? Can you tell me how to get to the stadium, or what time the game comes on? We understand that direct conversation. But the divine conversation kind of trips us up a lot. But like Napoleon Hill says, you know, he's not speaking in terms of the miracle. And our forward move, he was saying that it was based on faith. All of the miracles that happened in the barrel, in the Bible, and you look when Christ did his thing, and the individual was conscious, it was based on their faith. And if the individual was either dead, out of their mind, there was somebody who was faithful standing in proxy for them. So faith was the grease that made everything happen. So when we get this and when we start operating in this international mastermind, we start masterminding. It goes back to those brains being connected like batteries. And when they're connected, what's going to happen is we're having a conversation. We throw out the problem on the table, and now Danelle says, "Hey, well, Rufus, you ought to do this." And then Vaughn says, "Well, okay, Rufus, when you do that, I know a guy over here who can help you do this." Now we got these three brains connected, and not only to each other, but they're connected to other people throughout their individual walks of life.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's there.
So Rufus, my question to you, and this is Rose, what are some ways that you, from this, based on this chapter here and his invisible, he talks about his counselors, his table. Can you name or tell me one person that you have considered to be part of your table, and why?
Part of my invisible. I got a list. I made a list.
Give me one.
Of course. I mean, Christ is out there, right? But my mama and my dad,
okay.
Big Mama. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we get caught up on the media popularity. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know them people.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. What about it? Talks about the character. Okay. You're emulating this person because a certain character that this person may have. You know, for example, immediately after reading this chapter, I thought about so many people that influenced my life from the things that they've done in the past. And let's say, and I'm going to throw one out there, Rosa Parks, you know, just reading on her history. I didn't know her, you know, but I know of her story and some of the things. I even found a old article where she was being interviewed and some of the things that she shared. And the character that I would like to have that same character is that she was a person that stood up for what was right, you know, and she didn't give up, you know. She had, before the civil rights and whoever backed her up on what was going on, she had to constantly deal with the others and saying, you better not do this because this is going to change. It's going to make it hard for all the other people in the county or in the wherever she was from. You know, it's going to make it hard. You know, but she continued to press on, you know, and do whatever it took. And they make, and I hate when the comedians, and I shouldn't use hate because that's such a harsh word, the comedians make jokes or will say jokes on, oh, she didn't do anything, she just was tired. No, she really actually, she was fed up and she just had in her mind that enough was enough, you know? So
yeah, you know,
that's my
interesting
point.
And they're able to play on our ignorance, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Even at what we think is funny. I mean, and truth be told, you know, Rosa Parks, you know, you think about it in the line of youth and in the line of maturation, you know, the people who do the things that their parents tell them not to do, or we you know, we think life is black and white because Rosa Parks wasn't the first person to get arrested for sitting on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, she was she was the most marketable because the first young lady that got arrested was a young lady, young teen, and she was like, I ain't going for it. And but the reason that they didn't use her as the poster child was because she was an unwed mother. But it was divine that Rosa was in there and she was connected to Martin and the whole nine yards, and she set loose a wave. So when we talk about emulating people, and because we can't know everybody, but you look at the good parts of a person. You know, this guy, when he works out, he goes to the gym 3 days a week, and he eats right when I can see him. So I'm after that I know about him, I'm going to emulate that. So we can do that right there. But the trick is, you know, we can do something. It has to be applied.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vaughn said, you can't just read it over and over now. You got to do something with it.
Yeah.
Mhm. I agree. And this is to the group. I think we're kind of, we're 8 minutes into the show. And I have a question for the group. I really want to get this one out. As a mastermind team playing with intention, I noticed that in this writing, in his nine list of counsel, invisible counselors, do you believe that it's a reason why he chose all men and no women? I was questioning that, and I tried to look through and research it and to see why, but I didn't. I wanted to get everybody's thought on that. Do you think there's a reason why he only had all men?
I have an idea of why. Because in those times, the leaders of an industry, in the industries that he was interested in, were men. They were men. Women were at home.
Okay.
Women.
And I would, if Ann is on the line, I would like to get her input because I know she's been doing this for a while, and I wanted to know who did she consider if she's available. And she's not. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I tried to read on and see, and I don't want to go too far past this page because again, your group, your invisible counselor begins to grow. You know, it began to grow for him, and he included more men. And I'm like, okay, well, he got more men, no women.
I agree. When you consider the time of the writing, the 1930s, women just were not, and I mean it's something to research, but to my knowledge at least, women were not at the forefront of the endeavors that he was seeking to be a part of.
Okay.
You know, they have controlled it from home.
Yeah, I also have two other theories. I think one of the theories is that these are people that just resonated with him. Some people have your favorites. Some people like a wide category of other people. Some people like to just narrow it down to those that they can identify with. So that's probably just so happened what he chose because those people made an impact on him. You know, it could have been that reason. And the other reason is that he could have, you know, within him picking those people that he felt like he had an impact on, they could have just happened to be men. So,
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Because it says, before, it says on page 229, and I think Danielle read that. Did you read that? I actually don't know the group. That part of him, after speaking about the people at his table, the councils at his table, he said, he talks about his definite purpose. So he was indulging in, I don't want to go too far off because I know we're wrapping things up. He was saying that his purpose was to rebuild on his own character. So based on the people that were, you know, on his, of his imaginary counselor. So,
right. You know. The last complete paragraph of page 229, where he says, before eyebrows are raised, let me assure you, prior to that, he talked
about
the
procedure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the procedure was this. Just before going to sleep at night, I would shut my eyes and see in my imagination this group of men seated with me around my council table. Here, I had not only an opportunity to sit among those whom I consider to be great, but I actually dominated the group by serving as the chairman. Before eyebrows are raised, let me assure you that I had a very definite purpose in indulging my imagination through these nightly meetings. My purpose was to rebuild my own character, he says it again, so it would represent a composite of the characters of my imaginary counselors, realizing as I did early in life that I had to overcome the handicap of being born into an environment of ignorance and superstition. I deliberately assigned myself the task of voluntary rebirth through the method here described. Another favorite part of the chapter for me.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many? Go ahead. No, because I think we're winding down, but I want to save it for the next show, and just want to share this with the group for the next show. I know this is what I did after reading this chapter. I immediately started writing the names of people that I would want at my council. I did
not
keep it
that
in,
you would want that you were going
I mean,
to have at your
that
council,
I'm going to
your
have.
Council.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That exactly. They are. Because we had our first meeting. So let me change that. We had our first meeting on yesterday.
Okay.
And the meeting.
Not raised.
Okay. And
who was
my
there?
Meeting.
Who was there?
No, I'm not going to share who was there because that's the next week's show.
All right.
That's the next week's show.
Just share one person.
I'm going to say, as a matter of fact, I hope everyone's ready next week with their invisible counselors because I want to hear some of theirs and why.
Yeah, I got it.
But I'll tell you one, Vaughn. I'll tell you one. And I did keep it in the line
of
females.
I can almost guess. And I'm almost willing to bet that she's in the
nails
as well.
I know who you're going to say, so I'm not going to even tell that.
So you're
going to
change
that one. So I'm going to change it. I'm going to switch up on you. Ha ha. Now, because he thinks he knows me.
I know.
So everyone who's listening, you can obviously tell that Rose is really ready for this conversation.
Excited, right?
Just one minute left. Let's just hear 50 seconds of your closing statement.
Okay.
Your closing statement. Just 15 seconds.
Go ahead, Chad.
Oh, it's on me? Okay. Well, my closing statements are you are what you eat, so make sure that you're feeding your brain, your spirit, and your mind with some good things. That's my final note.
Okay.
And my closing statement is to all the listeners and as well as my Plan with Intention members, this week, start jotting down some of your characters. Let's start working on building your characters through your auto suggestions and work on your invisible counselors. And let's see. Let's talk about it next week.
Awesome. And
my closing is make sure your team is strong, both your imaginary council and the people that you have around you. Make sure that you have a strong team. Iron sharp as iron.
I agree.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I'd just like to remind everyone to go on ahead and check out that YouTube. I don't know what the YouTube channel is, but go on ahead and check out positive mental attitude, Science of Success. And
oh, yes, that's true.
Right. Success Science with Napoleon Hill. We encourage you all to have a great week. And we also send out as a group to you the challenge of developing your counsel. We look forward to hearing from you as much as we look forward to hearing one another next week, Saturday. Have a great week.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.